and they're complicated, but I think the Joe McCarthy thing is a no-brainer. I think Senator Joe McCarthy was right, and we should not have had communists in high positions in government, people who wanted to overthrow the government. And so as far as I'm concerned, you're either pro-McCarthy, or whether you realize it or not, you're pro-Mick-communism. But whatever the case, I think Joe, I agree with John Wayne, who really liked Joe McCarthy. They became lifelong friends and all. And I believe McCarthy was right. The communists were wrong. And there was no room for communists in our government. And now our government is overloaded with different types of communists. And we'll talk about that tonight. One of the reasons why I want to talk about that is our book, God, Government, and the Road to Tyranny, is probably within a month or two from being in print. The our cover artist, Bill Herod, has just done some phenomenal work, and the cover is just... All right, listen, knock it off. You can't be quiet in the studio. We're going to have to ask you to leave. I know, you know, we're being followed by our fans, but if you can't control your emotions, you're going to have to leave the studio. All right. Maybe I'm stepping on toes. I don't know. But whatever the case... chapter 5 of this work, God, Government, and the Road to Tyranny, is entitled The Christian View of Government. The Christian View of Communism. It's written by one of my favorite authors. That chapter is written by me. And I give a little overview of Marxist communism. So we'll be talking a little bit about that tonight. I want to touch on a few other things that are going on in the news. This was really neat. I'm not going to give the name of the insurance company. They're really dynamite, the good people to work with, but they insure our church. Now, we don't even own a building, so I don't even know why they sent me this letter, but this was really neat. They sent me, they explained something, and I couldn't make out what they were getting at, so they said, for example. So that means, in other words, if you're a dummy, we'll break it down to layman's terms for you. But listen to what my insurance company, the insurance company for our church, told us. It says, cover excluded, coverage excluded. So this means if this happens, they won't cover the cost. And it's liability insurance for our church, or just overall building insurance, that type of thing. We rent a place. We don't even own a building. I don't know why they... But anyway, whatever the case, cover excluded. So this is not coverage excluded. They don't cover this. If a terrorist detonates a nuclear bomb miles away from your property that does not physically damage your property, but the nuclear fallout causes contamination and renders it unusable, okay? So that we would not be covered in that instant. But then it says coverage provided if a terrorist detonates a bomb in or near your property and causes physical damage to it. So I guess, Kurt, if we ever get the building fund going and get a building, we would be better off if a terrorist detonated a nuclear bomb, if it actually caused physical damage to the building, then we would be covered. But if it was just radioactive stuff, we wouldn't be covered. But it's really interesting, since September 11th, that insurance companies are actually talking about that stuff. And I'm not even supposed to take this as a joke. It's like, you think I'm really going to be caring about our church insurance if we got hit with a nuclear warhead? You know what I mean?
Yeah, there'd be slightly more troublesome issues there.
Yeah, you know, I'd be worried about, you know, the fact that me and my congregation would glow in the dark. You know, who cares if they're going to rebuild our church building?
It's pretty much unusable no matter what after that, because we wouldn't want to be there anyway.
Yeah, and even if you could rebuild the church on that site after the radiation's gone, our luck, you know, a spotted owl would make a nest on the property, and then we'd be through. The Thomas More Law Center, these guys are sticking up for freedom of religion. They're talking about a law that's in Kentucky. Or the ACLU is trying to win a lawsuit in Kentucky, the land of the great Eric Purcell, my vice president. And it says that if this law came about, the newsletter from the Thomas More Law Center said, Christian churches and ministries that serve the needs of children would be required to hire and retain known homosexuals who would then be free to promote the destructive life child to innocent children. So we saw this going on.
Oh, joy. What rocket scientists came up with that idea?
Yeah, so we saw this going on in... Pennsylvania, we saw it going on in California, and it's going on now in Kentucky, all over the United States.
You're going to have a word with Eric about that. He needs to straighten out his home state.
Yeah. Well, it's the country of Daniel Boone, but now things are getting a little different. And you know, in Canada's already there. I mean, we know from Pastor Boysen that, you know, Canada, you could be charged with a hate crime for publicly calling homosexuality a sin. So the thought police are out there. And on that subject, I just saw a lady today on C-SPAN, you know, where they go over book things. And I have not read this book, so I can't give it a 100% thumbs up. I don't know. I haven't read it. But she wrote a book called The Language Police. Diane Ravitch is her name. How pressure groups restrict what students learn. And she's just kind of speaking out against censorship. She seemed to be a little on the political left side, I'm not sure, but she was making points that would really build a good case for the political right, if the political right chooses to really be to the right and constitutional. But whatever the case, just to give you an idea of some of the things she was talking about, she said that you couldn't mention God Bless America on a test because God is offensive, the word bless is offensive, and the word America is offensive. And so,
offensive to who? We are Americans.
Yeah, well, it's these political lobbyist groups. But listen to what it says on the front jacket of this book, The Language Police, by Diane Ravitch. She says, to what exactly do the censors object? A typical publisher's guideline advises that. So this is she's saying this is a typical. It's not unusual for a publishing house to have these guidelines. So the typical publisher's guidelines advises that woman cannot be depicted as caregivers or doing household chores, because that's considered demeaning of woman.
Oh.
Men cannot be lawyers or doctors or plumbers. They must be nurturing helpmates.
They must be feminized.
Yeah,
men.
You don't want to make the woman look too feminine, even though they're females, and you want to make the guys look more feminine, even though they're supposed to be males. Which, you know, it's supposed to be, it can be far from reality in this country today. We're suffering because of the lack of men with a backbone. Another thing that they advise: old people cannot be feeble or dependent. They must jog or repair the roof. These are actual guidelines written out and stuff.
That must be why we have all these, like, tough chick movies, these Charlie's Angels. You know, I saw an excerpt from that movie the other day, and they're just throwing these guys around the room. And I'm just like, you know, I'd really like to see that in real life. I don't think they would last 3 minutes.
There was one movie that I saw. Me and my wife laughed all the way through it, where this lady played the vice president, and she was, like, a former Marine, and the White House got taken over. And she became like a female Rambo and just beat all the bad guys. And it was just phony baloney. You know, she climbed up a rope with one arm, holding an M16 in the other arm. I've never seen a male Marine with 18-inch biceps do that.
Wow.
And but there was one scene in it where she found a toy G.I. Joe, and she said something like, "This is why men are messed up." And then tossed it aside.
But
the fact of the matter was,
G.I. Joe, that would be wonderful.
Well, but the crazy thing was, she's saying men are messed up because they're trained warriors. They like joining the military and fighting wars. What is she doing?
Yeah.
She's saying, I hate men because of the way they are, but I want to be just like them.
Yep.
So it's kind of weird. Another guideline of publishing agencies, a story that is set in the mountains discriminates against students from flatlands. And by the way, a lot of these publishers are those that publish textbooks or make nationally accepted standardized tests and things. So a story that's set in the mountains discriminates against students from flatlands. Children cannot be shown as disobedient or in conflict with adults. It's almost like saying you can't even write about children.
Yeah, why don't we just throw reality?
Realistically about
them. Let's just throw reality out the window, you know. I mean, it has no bearing on life.
And in this postmodern day and age, that's exactly what's happening. Cake cannot appear in a story because it is not nutritious. Sheesh, I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to look
at none of these standards writers are members of Mensa.
I don't know, and whatever the case, I'm not a member of that myself because you got to have a high IQ. But whatever the case, the Language Police by Diane Ravitch, I'm going to be looking into that book and seeing if I can glean some more goodies out of it. That's just one of the things that I wanted to pick up on today. Sort of C-SPAN found it rather interesting.
It's funny you mention that too, because like we were talking on the ferry, you know, we interviewed Tal Brook last week. And the latest Spiritual Counterfeits Project newsletter had a big write-up on reality TV shows and just all the silliness that's going on with it and the damage that it's doing to our culture. It's kind of like, let's throw reality out the window and live in fantasy world.
Yeah. And it's some of that reality TV garbage is getting way, in fact, most of it is getting way out of hand. Here's another thing. Eric sent this to me, our vice president at the Institute, Eric Purcell, from WorldNet Daily, that it was actually the Supreme Court of the United States of America, if I remember reading it right. So this is a very important case. Yeah, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 that states cannot punish homosexual couples for engaging in sex acts that are legal for heterosexuals. So basically, the Supreme Court struck down a Texas sodomy law. Now, as far as the Constitution goes, that's state rights. Texas should just be left alone.
Absolutely.
And but whatever the case,
I don't know where these federal judges get off thinking that they can overrule the sovereignty of the states.
Yep. And it says so. Texas was one of just 13 states in which a law exists, and one of just 4 that banned same-sex sodomy only. And but whatever the case, the Supreme Court buttoned its nose, and so you got Justice Scalia voted against it, obviously. He was one of the 3 who voted against it, as well as Justice Thomas. And they're basically saying that the court has – Scalia stated this, Justice Scalia, the court has taken sides in the culture war, Scalia said, noting that he has nothing against homosexuals. So he's saying, look, I have nothing against homosexuals, but it's not the Supreme Court's job to further their agenda. And so then he said that the court had, and I'm quoting Scalia, the court has largely signed on to the so-called homosexual agenda. So now the Supreme Court is working for the homosexual rights movement at this point and furthering their cause. Another email from Eric is that the WorldNet Daily exposes the United Nations world reorder, and it states this, decisions made in the next few months will determine to a great extent whether the United States of America remains a free constitutional republic or yields its freedom to the rule of international law administered by the United Nations, according to the May issue of WorldNet Daily's acclaimed monthly whistleblower magazine. So the New World Order is in full... full steam ahead. We'll talk about that when we come back. Tonight we're talking about communism. We'd love to hear from you. Local area 206 number 374-8800. Toll free 1-800-955-8200.
Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382, and we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, all the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382.
Top of the morning to you, Roger.
How are you doing, mate?
Have you had your tea this morning?
Great spot of tea, thank you. Lovely.
Now we can get on with our channeling. This morning, I think we're going to bring up the spirit of Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my.
Ready? Come here on. We go. Oh, Mr. Stalin, come forth from the afterlife.
Oh, Joey,
and grant
boy,
us wisdom. Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Where will you be the day after you die? Trust me.
No, dude, did you ever, like, look at the stars and wonder why they're, like, bright?
Yeah, man, like, I was wondering the other day why it all started.
No, I don't know, but it's like, they're everywhere. Wow.
It's cool that I get to change my reality whenever I want to.
No, cool.
If you like discussing the big questions, you'll like the Christian Worldview. Here at the Institute of Biblical Defense, we discuss the big questions, only without the hallucinogenic drugs. Dr. Phil Fernandez, Joe and Angie's little boy. This is the Christian Worldview on KGNW, 820 AM. We're going to be talking about communism, a few other news items I want to go over before that. But if you would like to talk to us, just give us a call. Local number 206-374-8800. That's 374-8800. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-955-8200. That's 1-800-955-8200. And we have a caller, and it's Paul from Silverdale. Paul, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Phil.
How's it going there?
Just great. Beautiful day today.
Sure is.
You know, you could do a couple months of shows on, you know, communism and, mm-hmm. you know, the way so many people were duped and, the infiltration of communists
yeah.
throughout the United States government.
Big time.
During FDR's administration and,
yep.
and subsequent to that. I think your average person on the street would say, duh, if you told them that the Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, Harry Dexter White, was a
yes.
spy for the Soviets
yes.
under FDR. The Assistant Secretary of yep. the Treasury.
Yeah, yeah.
And then... Oh, all the others in the Ag Department.
Look at Alger Hiss, Assistant Secretary General of the UN, and it's known now that he was a high-ranking member of the Communist Party
right.
on the Soviet payroll. Whitaker Chambers, when he converted to Christianity and left the Communist Party, he ended up spilling the beans there. And then Hiss was arrested for plagiarism. Yet to this day, Alger Hiss is looked upon with more respect than Joseph McCarthy. And it, to me, the McCarthyism represents, you know, the witch hunt and slamming people unjustly. That's what was done to McCarthy.
That's
it's
right.
not what McCarthy did to others.
And, in that case, there were real witches
yeah,
going after.
Exactly. And Joseph McCarthy, contrary to popular belief, didn't go after Hollywood, didn't go after others. He was not even arguing that you don't have the right to be a communist or a member of the Communist Party. What he was arguing was it is no one's right to be a government official, and that you should not be a government official in the United States of America if you are sympathetic to communism or a member of the Communist Party or sympathetic to other members of the Communist Party who are in the State Department. And, you know, basically, if you want to overthrow the government, you cannot be trusted to
yeah.
help run the government.
That's a view that's totally antithetical to our system of government. Can
yeah.
only harm it.
Well, and, you know, mentioning Whitaker Chambers
yeah.
and mentioning also earlier in your show about the way our culture is becoming so degraded, not
yeah.
just with language, but in belief and practice, I read a book by Ralph de Toledano, who was a friend of Whitaker Chambers. He
wow.
was a writer for Newsweek at the time. And there was a book of his correspondence with Whitaker Chambers and Whitaker Chambers' writings. And he mentioned in you know, a current aside, you know, how Whitaker Chambers said that he was joining the losing side when he left communism.
Mm.
And, you know, told about Hiss and
yep.
and also the others in that communist circle. Ralph de Toledano, he wrote that, well, you know, people would say, well, you know, he didn't join the losing side because, you know, we've vanquished communism.
No.
But de Toledano yeah. said if
Another
Whitaker Chambers
culture,
were alive today, were
yeah.
alive today, Chambers would say, yes, he did join the losing side because
yep.
the way the culture has become.
Yeah, yeah, and it's also, you
and
know,
of course, as a Christian,
yeah.
you know, he was a Quaker. He would
yeah,
know, say
it's,
that.
And
you know.
It's even the Republican Party wants big government. Basically, even the leadership of the Republican Party on the national level wants socialistic government. And we need to understand that the old Soviet Union. They were the USSR. They were not the USCR. They viewed that the present form of their communist regime. Communism was the goal, supposedly the cashless society, but they viewed their government as socialism, just like the Red China. And so socialism is identical to communism. It's just the present stage in the dialectic, the present stage of communism. And so socialism, big government. Now we've got people on both sides of the aisle, Republican and Democrat, that just about everybody who's part of the establishment that has power, whether they call themselves capitalist or socialist, whatever, we're just nothing but big government, guys. And I think that was the biggest result out of McCarthy's. And McCarthy did not win because of the assault on McCarthy.
Yeah.
Everybody was afraid to call a communist, and afraid to call big government evil. And because of it, we're suffering the results. And I think big government type thinking, whether you call it Marxist communism, Gramscian communism, Trotskyite communism, or socialism, whatever name it goes by, the big government disease has spread to the leadership of both parties.
Yeah, that's unfortunately true. We have to, you know, restate the obvious that government is best what governs least.
Amen. That's our founding fathers, and that's what really concerns me, is that we have so few people on the national level on politics that really want to quote the founding fathers in context and stand by it and go back to the Constitution.
That's what made the founding fathers so different, was because, you know, contrary to the Enlightenment at that time, they allowed the Christian influence to influence them.
Yeah.
When our founding fathers were true statesmen, they stood on principle.
Yep.
They didn't tell the people what they wanted to hear. And unfortunately, nowadays, everybody is so dependent on government, and the country is so dumbed down. I mean, every time there's some sort of a social ill, everybody looks and expects Congress to pass a new law.
You know, a Christian pastor, John A. Stormer, he wrote a book called None Dare Call It Treason, which has sold over 7 million copies. And listen to what he says about McCarthy. I'm reading from page 87, None Dare Call It Treason, John A. Stormer. He says, however, by the end of 1954, McCarthy was censured and silenced. By 1957, he was dead. The liberals cheered. The communists breathed a sigh of relief. The tragedy of the McCarthy story is that McCarthy was essentially right. What he said and tried to prove was rarely denied. It was simply buried in the controversy his charges provoked. His targets were unsuitable for government service, if not by reason of treason, then because of gross negligence and complete naivety about the communist conspiracy. That is all McCarthy tried to prove. And, you know, he said the communist conceived slogan, "I like what McCarthy is trying to do, but I can't stand his methods," was parroted by millions. And so it's just like, you know, people say, oh, he was too gruff. Okay, well, then just allow the communists to stay in the government and to run our government, to take over our government. It just does not follow. You know, Paul, I really appreciate that we have Bible-believing Christians like yourself who see that communism, big government, socialism is from the other side, and you refuse to be ridiculed and mocked into compromising God's truth.
And I also think, you know, just as recently on June the 8th was the 25th anniversary of Alexander Solzhenitsyn's commencement speech at Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
And he wrote, "Only moral criteria can help the West against communism's well-planned world strategy. There are no other criteria. Practical or occasional considerations of any kind will inevitably be swept away by strategy." And, you know, my own comment would be that moral criteria is Christianity, and you know, no other form.
Yeah, and it's just like John Adams said that our Constitution was made for religious people. By that, he made a Christian people, and he knew that if we would fall away from true biblical Christian belief, we would basically not be able to handle our freedoms. We would beg and elect slave masters, bring them into power to enslave us, and that's what's going on. Paul, God bless you.
Is it okay to talk to you off the air or the board operator?
What's that?
Is it okay to talk to you off the air or
sure,
the board operator?
Sure, sure. Okay, God bless you, Paul. You know, Paul's a good friend of ours. We met through the radio when we were doing our radio program out of Bremerton. Now we're doing it out of Seattle, obviously. Good friend of ours, trained in the Bible, has Bible college training. just a dynamite guy. We're going to be talking about communism tonight, and if you want to call us, the 206 number is 374-8800. That's 374-8800. And the 800 number is 955-8200. That's 955-8200. You know, this whole issue of McCarthy is coming out time and time again. The New American just recently, Rory Wessinger, who investigates political issues and the New World Order issues and things like communism, things of that sort, which are, I think communism is just one big pawn in the globalist agenda, but the guys in positions of ultimate power are actually capitalist, the guys with the bucks. They realize that if they have the bucks, they can control the boys with the weapons and that type of thing. But whatever the case, New American Magazine, the title of their June 16, 2003 issue is Taking Aim Again, the Ongoing Character Assassination of Senator Joseph McCarthy. And what they're talking about, well, here's the cover story. McCarthy targeted again by William Norman Grigg, who's been a guest on this show, a brilliant, brilliant young man. He's about my age, so that qualifies him to be a young man. His subtitle is Media Spin Aside, Newly Released Transcripts from Senator Joseph McCarthy's Closed Committee Hearings Validate His Efforts to Expose Subversive Forces in Our Government. And so basically, what Grigg argues in a series of articles here, that McCarthy was not this guy who wanted to destroy everybody who disagreed with him. He just wanted communists out of the government, communists who wanted to overthrow our government and who had no allegiance to our Constitution, wanted to overthrow our Constitution. He wanted them removed, and maybe the guy was a little gruff, but he played within the rules. He was a tough former Marine, but he played within the rules, and even his closed door, you know, they thought that behind closed doors they're going to find out that he was vicious and he would only look for people who wouldn't fight back and then he'd go public. Instead, what it was, the closed door hearings was just to make sure that he wasn't going to publicly destroy somebody's character when it turned out that they really were innocent. And
I don't blame him. I mean, like Tal Brooks said last week, I mean, who wants to lose their freedom? Who wants to live under a tyranny?
And so Joe McCarthy was exactly right, trying to get these traitors out of government. But whatever the case, we're going to talk a little bit more about it, how this is in the news right now. And I'm going to recommend some books you ought to go out and buy. A couple chapters in each of these books are dedicated to McCarthy and why Joe McCarthy was right.
Dr. Phil Fernandez founded the Institute of Biblical Defense in 1990 for the purpose of defending the Christian faith and training others to do the same. If you'd like to contact the Institute, please call us at area code 360-698-7382 or write us at P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington 98310, or visit our website at www.biblicaldefense.org.
Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and Eric Purcell preach at Trinity Bible Fellowship. Trinity Bible Fellowship is a small family church that meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club, about 1 mile north of the Kitsap Mall. All are welcome. For further information, please call us at 360-698-7382. We're looking forward to seeing you.
Hello, this is Eric Purcell, the co-host of the Christian Worldview. I'd like to invite you to attend the church services of Trinity Bible Fellowship. Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and I preach the Word of God, 10:30 Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club on Clear Creek Road in Silverdale, Washington, just a short distance from the Kitsap Mall. That's Trinity Bible Fellowship, meeting at the Clear Creek Community Club in Silverdale, Washington. For more information, call 360-698-7382. And we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday morning. The Institute of Biblical Defense is an organization that believes and teaches that biblical Christianity is not reserved for the uneducated and unstable, as some would have us believe. We present and defend our faith to prove that point. Science, philosophy, history, archaeology, All the evidence points to an empty tomb outside Jerusalem, God's greatest miracle in an unbelieving world. If you'd like to learn more, check out the Institute at www.biblicaldefense.org or give us a call at 360-698-7382.
This is Dr. Phil Fernandez, President of the Institute of Biblical Defense. This is the Christian Worldview on 820 AM KGNW. And we're talking about communism. Are you a McCarthyite or a McCommunist? That's my question for you tonight. As far as I'm concerned,
that would make a good new meal at McDonald's.
Yeah, it would be. It would be a really big sandwich with a lot of red tape. But whatever the case, we're talking about communism. As far as I'm concerned, Joe McCarthy, never met the man, dead before I was born, but Joe McCarthy was a good friend of mine. Joseph McCarthy was a Marine. He was an American, a patriotic American. And if you want to charge him with anything, charge him with loving the Constitution. Charge him with loving freedom, and charge him with wanting to boot communists out of office. And believe me, history was rewritten with McCarthy. John Wayne was right. Joseph McCarthy was a good man, and he was attacking some very evil people in high places.
I have to wholeheartedly agree with you, except maybe that little Marine stuff. You know, I'll have to forgive him on that point.
Kurt will come out of the closet. He's former Navy, so he was actually a squid. And Kurt, I just got a couple questions for you. Are you now or were you ever a member of the Communist Party?
I am not now a member of the Communist Party, nor have I ever been a member of the Communist Party.
See, we were supposed to rehearsed this on the ferry on the way over, which, by the way, I got a complaint about that, but we rehearsed this on the ferry. He was supposed to say, I plead the fifth, because that's what everybody did. You got all these guys pleading the fifth, and it's like, if you can't answer that question, you know, this looks pretty bad. I mean, if you're holding a guy at high government office and you plead the fifth and say, I choose to remain silent at the question, are you a communist?
Yeah, you pretty much know the answer.
Are you a communist or member of the Communist Party? It's like,
duh.
You know, it's kind of, you should not be in government office. By the way, my complaint about the ferry, I couldn't even hardly study because the ferry was so packed with people going to the Mariners game. So we want our listeners to sign a petition, because we know there's so many of us and so few to go to the Mariners. There's only like, 40, 50,000 people that go to a Mariners game. To stop having Mariners games on Sunday evenings to make Kurt
Saturday.
Night, Saturday evening. That's right. We're on Saturday. Thanks, Kurt. It's the 7 days, and it's so easy to confuse one with the other.
I know.
But if we could have a petition by all our listeners, which must far exceed 40 to 50,000. If we can get a petition and we'll send it, deliver it to the Mariners organization so that they no longer have evening games on Saturdays to make our ferry ride a little more enjoyable. But whatever the case, back to Joe McCarthy. If you want to talk to us, call us at 206-374-8800. That's 374-8800 on the local line. The toll-free number is 800-955-8200. 800-955-8200. Remember, when you do an 800 number, do a 1 first, 1-800. I don't know if I have to say that for our listeners. Our listeners are in the know. But whatever the case, this series of articles by William Norman Grigg, a good friend of ours, a true patriot, writes for the New Americans, an editor for the New American, member of the John Birch Society, which is not a bigoted organization. They're just constitutional. That's why our media wants us to think that they're bigots and conspiracy nuts and that type of thing. William Norman Grigg in the New American writes a series of articles about McCarthy being vindicated, especially by the over 4,000 pages of recently, these are sealed transcripts that have now been unsealed. And here's some of the big print that is put down here. Witch hunt, ? The high profile cases cited by McCarthy, Owen Lattimore, John Stewart Service, and Philip C. Jessup, all ended with the senator's charges being validated. I mean, we now know that some of these big guns in the government were actually on Joseph Stalin's payroll, and so whatever the case, he closes one of his articles, William Grigg, with this: that ritual denunciations of McCarthy continue today, nearly five decades after his death, illustrates that the forces against which he fought occupy positions of influence even now. It wasn't enough to destroy McCarthy's reputation by using the major media to equate his very name with all that is vile and opportunistic. Those forces seek to discourage honest people from carrying out the thankless task McCarthy bravely assumed, exposing efforts to subvert and destroy our constitutional system. You know, but Grigg goes further than that. Not only does he say McCarthy was right, but he even goes a step further, and he's got an article entitled FDR, you know, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for those people who have a hard time figuring that out, FDR's Patriot Purge, and Grigg states this, in its efforts to suppress patriotic dissent, the pro-Soviet FDR administration used many of the tactics falsely attributed to Senator McCarthy. In other words, when he wanted to get involved in World War II, and certain constitutionalists, for constitutional reasons, didn't want us getting involved in European wars, he did everything in his power to blacklist them, to discredit them, to destroy their reputations and all. FDR was using the quote-unquote McCarthy-like tactics. He wasn't, you know, he didn't have the innocent until proven guilty. So everything is turned upside down in this world. He mentions a defender of Americanism, Martin, I don't know if his name is Martin Dies or Martin Dies, it's D-I-E-S, but kind of a weird name because we all die, but whatever the case said, for the 7 years he headed the House Committee on Un-American Activities, Congressman Martin Dies was given free rein to investigate Nazi and fascist front groups. But FDR's administration impeded every effort Dies undertook to expose communist espionage, sabotage, and infiltration. And so it talks about this gentleman. He basically was not allowed by FDR to mess with the communists. And so he received all sorts of red tape and pressure from FDR to try to prevent him from exposing communists and their methods.
Well, FDR was too busy listening to Colonel Edward Mandel House, and one of the prime architects of the United Nations, if I remember correctly.
That was actually Woodrow Wilson.
Oh, that, Will Wilson,
that was
yeah.
a generation earlier, yeah. but FDR, really big on globalism, really, he patterned his welfare state on Mussolini's mm-hmm. fascist views. And you know, in reality, fascism, Nazism, socialism, communism, whatever name it goes by, big government is all on the far left. And we've been lied to, being told that fascism and Nazism are on the right. They're just slightly to the right of communism. In reality, they're almost synonymous. We're talking about big government and government control.
And House and Wilson were the architects of the League of Nations,
which failed.
And then World War II gave us the UN.
Yeah, House had to get together with a few of his globalist buddies, bring about the Council on Foreign Relations to change the thinking of American leaders to get it to the point and get their guys elected to get it to the point where we would back a United Nations. And this is where the capitalistic globalists, the international bankers, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, they used communism as one pause in their goal to build a new world order. But now we have presidents that talk about a new world order.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and
this
secretaries
isn't conspiracy
of state
theory
and stuff like
stuff
that.
Anymore. It's, yeah, it's well documented.
It's not a
it's
conspiracy anymore. It's you just watch CNN and take notes, and yet we're called conspiracy nuts. And whatever the case, we have Tony on the line. Tony, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
That's good. And, what do you think of the program so far tonight?
Well, from what I've been able to hear, it's pretty good. Trying to listen while I work, I miss about half of it.
Half of what, the program or the work?
both.
Good.
But from what I could tell, you're talking about communism, and it sounds like you're talking mostly about the Soviet state, not so much the communist Chinese.
No, they're both in the same bed of big government globalism.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
But talking about McCarthyism and things that happened, what, in the early 50s?
Yeah.
It's been about 10 or 12 years now since the, or more since the Soviet state has basically collapsed, and Hong Kong is proving to China that communism really isn't working, even though they'll never admit it. Why are we worried about communism now?
Yeah, okay, that's a good question. I think Tony's asking that question, because I know Tony personally. I think he's asking that question for the benefit of others who might not know, but the evidence is out there. Who was it, Galitzin, the former KGB?
Alexander Galitzin.
Yeah, the former...
Perestroika deception.
Yeah, his former KGB agent defected to the West, and he spelled out exactly what the Soviets would do. Communism did not really die. It's just part of the globalist agenda of merging the United States and the Soviet Union, ending the Cold War, merging the two, and that would make it easier to bring about a one-world government through increments. And... but whatever the case, communism is not dead in the Soviet Union. It's still big government in the old states that made up the Soviet Union. Europe is. I mean, there's not just Marxist communism. In my book, I talk about Marxist communism, which wants to bring about the all-powerful state through, you know, and supposedly eventually a classless society. Good luck, like the those in power, like dictators, are going to just voluntarily give up their power. But in Marxist communism, you attain the communist state through revolution. But in Gramscian and Trotskyite communism, you bring about an all-powerful state through increments, through evolution, through taking over religion and the arts and the media and things of that sort. And Gramscian or Trotskyite communism is alive and well, not only in the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party as well, especially when you get beyond the grassroots and on the national level. So communism is not dead, though Rory Wessinger, kind of our scholar when it comes to New World Order and political issues, Rory Wessinger would tell you communism is not – even Robert Welch, who started the John Birch Society, at first he thought communism was the problem. And then what he found out was there's something bigger and uglier than communism that was using and funding communism and using it as a pawn, and that's the globalist objective. So at the top, you have a bunch of billionaire capitalists pulling the strings. – And we're not really talking about the New World Order tonight so much, but this is just one little piece in the puzzle. But communism is not dead. By the way, one of the things McCarthy nailed, one of the guys that he nailed was General Marshall, famous for the Marshall Plan. But Marshall did more things than probably anybody else to further the cause of communism, both the Soviet style and Red China. He handed off Red China. He handed off China to the communists. And Marshall also gave half of Europe, carved it up, and pretty much gave it to the Soviet Union. We'll be back in just a minute.
Top of the morning to you, Roger.
How are you doing, mate?
Have you had your tea this morning?
Great quality, thank you. Lovely.
Now we can get on with our channeling.
This morning, I think we're going to bring up the spirit of Joseph Stalin.
Oh, my.
Ready? Come here on. We go.
Oh, Mr. Stalin, come forth from the afterlife.
Ouch,
and grant
boy,
us wisdom.
Ew, that one sound good.
Where will you be the day after you die?
Trust me.
Aw, oh, dude, did you ever, like, look at the stars and wonder why they're, like, bright?
Yeah, man, like, I was wondering the other day why it all started.
No, I don't know, but it's like, they're everywhere. Wow.
It's cool that I get to change my reality whenever I want to.
No, cool.
If you like discussing the big questions, you'll like the Christian Worldview. Here at the Institute of Biblical Defense, we discuss the big questions, only without the hallucinogenic drugs.
Dr. Phil Fernandez founded the Institute of Biblical Defense in 1990 for the purpose of defending the Christian faith and training others to do the same. If you'd like to contact the Institute, please call us at area code 360-698-7382 or write us at P.O. Box 3264, Bremerton, Washington 98310, or visit our website at www.biblicaldefense.org.
Come hear Pastor Phil Fernandez and Eric Purcell preach at Trinity Bible Fellowship. Trinity Bible Fellowship is a small family church that meets at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings at the Clear Creek Community Club, about 1 mile north of the Kitsap Mall. All are welcome. For further information, please call us at 360-698-7382. We're looking forward to seeing you.
This is Dr. Phil Fernandez, a man born without lungs, with Kurt Rennear, a man barely alive. This is the Christian Worldview and KGNW, 820 AM. We have time for another call or two. We're talking about communism. Are you a McCarthyite or a McCommie? I'm a communist. I'm opposed to communism. I think Joe McCarthy was patriotic, and that was his crime. And he got slammed for standing up for what is right. You know, there's so many issues that are gray and complex. This isn't. This is black and white. Either back communism or you don't. I'm not saying everybody who's opposed to McCarthy is a communist, but what I'm saying is everybody who opposes McCarthy and is opposed to communism has fallen prey to communist propaganda. But whatever the case, let me suggest a few books to you that you might want to read, just a few chapters that deal with McCarthyism. And then you could read the rest of the book because it deals with the New World Order, the rest of these books. But if you want to give us a call, we've got time for another call or two. You can call us on the local line, 206-374-8800. That's 374-8800. Or you can call us toll-free, 800-955-8200. That's 800-955-8200. We already mentioned None Dare Call It Treason, which sold 7 million copies. The author, John A. Stormer, a Christian pastor who exposed communism and explain why McCarthy was right. A lot of people think William F. Buckley Jr. They think that that he actually stood up for McCarthy, but in reality, his book, he claimed he was defending McCarthy. Buckley claimed that he was a conservative, but he, with friends like that, who needs enemies? In the end of the book, you're left with, wow, McCarthy was messed up. And so whatever the case, there's a really good book by John McManus about William F. Buckley Jr., and it's called William F. Buckley Jr., Pied Piper for the Establishment, where he spells out what really happened during the McCarthy years. There's also The Naked Capitalist by W. Cleon Skousen and The Naked Communist by W. Cleon Skousen. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that if time permits, but there's several good, truly constitutional books that point out that McCarthy was right and the liberals and the neoconservatives were wrong. We have another caller. Lewis, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hi.
How's it going?
Real good, thanks. Yeah, I just tuned into your program. I got Ann Coulter's book today.
I got it today as well.
Delivered by Amazon, yeah. Treason.
Yeah.
And apparently, I haven't started it, but apparently she talks a lot about Senator McCarthy. That's always been a fascinating subject to me, that mm-hmm. whole period. I lived in Berlin in 1975, and I got to visit East Berlin and took mm-hmm. a brief trip to Poland. And my wife spent 4 years in a communist labor camp in Cambodia.
Wow.
So, you know, I've looked into this and tried to square it with my Christian beliefs and,
yeah.
and how the world is changing and the way the God's plan is unfolding.
Yeah.
And it's
yeah.
a fascinating subject.
Yeah.
I was wondering, apparently you just got the book and haven't read it. I was going to ask you what you thought of it.
Yeah, but on the ferry, I did read a couple chapters, and what it seems to be, now Ann Coulter, you know, seems like a very nice lady, but at the same time, she's what I would classify as a neoconservative, a newer form of conservative. They claim to be conservatives, but she's really not pro-Constitution. She basically sees a place for the United Nations, which is very unconstitutional, and she sees a place for big government, maybe not quite as big as the liberals would see. But she's more of a neoconservative. Yet, I would recommend that book, her new book, Treason, based on this. She's one of the few conservative authors that is now coming out backing Joseph McCarthy. She has at least three or four chapters in her book, And it's not one of those deals where she, you know, like William F. Buckley Jr. pretending to be a friend, but then slams the guy. She really goes to his defense and says he was right, and we need more people like him. And so let me see if I could find. There's one point where she says that she comes right out and says in her book. Yeah, she says this in the start of chapter 4, a chapter entitled "The Indispensable Joe McCarthy." The truth about McCarthy will sound insane because it has been a major goal of the left to make it sound insane. Your tax money is used to support school textbooks and college professors churning out nonsense about McCarthy. And so, you know, she goes on and on arguing that McCarthy was right. He was on a witch hunt, but there were real witches, and they were witches in, you know, communist, in high places in government. And so she's one of the first, what I would call, neoconservatives to stand up for McCarthy and to say that McCarthy was right. So I recommend this book to a lot of my friends, because a lot of my friends are not true constitutional conservatives. They think they are, but they're actually neoconservatives, and they wouldn't read the true constitutional books that I mentioned. So if I recommend Ann Coulter's Treason, though I don't agree with everything in the book, what she's talking about when it comes to McCarthy, it might lead them to say, okay, let me take a closer look at McCarthy. Then maybe they'll read some of these other books and find out, hey, McCarthy was right. Once you find out that McCarthy was right, you start finding that a lot of things, not only in the Democratic Party, but the Republican Party as well, a lot of things stink. And something is wrong, and this love fest with the United Nations and this love fest with international law and the World Trade Organization and United States intervention all over the world, that these things are about as far away from the goals of our founding fathers as you could possibly
and
get.
We might point out, too, that there are those who badmouth the United Nations but still have a love fest with the globalist agenda and are more than willing to carry it out with American taxpayer dollars and military.
Yeah, see, the liberals want a weak United States military, so they need the UN to bring about the one world government. The neoconservatives in control, the establishment in the Republican Party, they want a strong America. And it's basically like, hey, we don't have to get cooperation from the United Nations. We can do this alone. But either way, globalism is ugly, and it sounds like the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11, and Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist and his one-world government, we should not go there. Government has a limited purpose, and we need to stick to that limited purpose. Government should not be this all-powerful monster. Lewis,
put in a slightly different angle on this. I agree with you. The United Nations is exactly what we don't direction we don't want to head into. Mm-hmm. But since the way the world has changed and the technology and has evolved in such a way is that we are being drawn closer together in trade and commerce with the whole entire world, and I would much rather see a Judeo-Christian nation like the United States set the agenda for the world and create a Pax Americana, if you will. And I know it can be messy. I know there's a lot of risks involved, but I think this is vastly preferable to the socialist UN.
Hey, Lewis, we got to close the program. Right. Thank you for your insight. The only thing I would say to this, and Lewis, I hope you're listening, but we've got to cut the call. I would just say that's opposed to what our founding fathers stood for. Our founding fathers believed in limited government, not the idea that America should police the world. And supposing if America takes over the world and forces peace, all it takes is getting a Bill or Hillary in office, and all of a sudden that peace we're enforcing can look pretty ugly. So whatever the case, we'll talk about next week the 45 goals of the Communist Party to take over America from within. This is Dr. Phil Fernandez and Kurt Vernier from the Institute of Biblical Defense, Christian Worldview. God bless you, and love the freedom God has blessed you with.